Are electric vehicles really the future of trucking? On today's episode of Driven Too Far, we're talking about the sustainability of diesel fuel. Hello, I'm Andrew Winkler with Chief Carriers, and this is Driven Too Far, the truth about trucking, a podcast that helps over-the-road truck drivers balance career and family. Are battery electric vehicles really our future in trucking? I want to start off today by telling you a quick story of a drayage company out in California that works the ports down in Los Angeles and Long Beach. I met a guy last fall that was, their company was running, I think, roughly 30 trucks out of the ports, and they provided drayage services for the containers coming off the ships. And when California was so aggressive with zero emission type stuff for trucks, yeah, their company wanted to step forward and be one of the first ones to push the electric trucks to see what they could get done. So certainly admire what they were trying to do. But with that comes a lot of issues, and you know, always being the pioneer and the first ones, you're the first one out there to get all the troubles and the issues. So they've learned a lot, and what's good about it is they were willing to share the lessons they learned along their journey. I think they started roughly 3 years ago down this path, ordering electric trucks from the OEMs and trying to figure out what they needed. And then the second part of that, of course, was going to be able to figure out how do we get electricity to our terminals to charge the new electric trucks. Their individual company kind of set a big goal. They wanted to be all electric by the year 2025. So again, that was only a few short years away. They were currently running an all diesel fleet that was running almost 24/7. They were at least running two shifts, if not three. And the beauty behind the diesel fleet, when you think about it, was they were able to slip seat drivers. So for every one truck on the shift, they had one driver assigned to it. When the second shift started, they could use that same truck and just slip seat the second shift driver into it and even the third shift. So that one tractor could essentially run 24 hours a day. And the only source of energy it needed, of course, was the diesel fuel, and it takes approximately 15 minutes to refuel a truck every time. So it was a very efficient operation. They knew looking into the new electric trucks, they weren't going to be able to run the same kind of schedule with the trucks because of the charging time required on electric vehicles. And what was interesting about the whole thing was what they really learned was they almost need, what was interesting about the whole thing is they were learning that they would need two tractors to support three drivers. So in other words, while one truck was out working, one of the electric trucks was working the schedule, there had to be a second truck there plugged in, charging, ready for the next guy to take over. It wasn't simple 15-minute refuel type thing. It would take several hours for each electric vehicle to be able to recharge. They started talking about the cost of the electric vehicles. What's the cost difference between buying a new battery EV versus a diesel tractor? And when you'll get sticker shock when you go talk to the manufacturers, but we're going to say roughly $450,000 for a new electric truck versus maybe $175,000 for a diesel truck. So how does that really work? You know, you're already seeing the inefficiency where you need more tractors to produce the same amount of work. And then the cost is two and three times as much as the current diesel truck. So where does all that work and how do you make that math work? Well, fortunately, the government has stepped in and they're offering different kinds of grants, not only for the purchase of the battery electric trucks, but also for helping with the infrastructure of getting the electricity to their terminal. But how long will those grants last? We don't know that. And how much money is actually sitting out there for those grants? It just doesn't seem, you know, really to make any sense where this is all going with the electric trucks. But again, I want to tell you, this company, they were so forward thinking. And again, I think they deserve high praise for everything they've done because they've kind of been that pioneer. They've pushed through and they've shown us, the rest of us, what worked well, what didn't work well, and the lessons along the way. To get the charging infrastructure in place, it took almost 18 to 24 months. There was struggles with getting the charging stations themselves purchased, and then getting the electricity over to the terminal. But they had to work through permits and, you know, kind of all the government red tape, if you will, with the local government and the city they were in to get that electricity. And I know there was an issue up front where the city's kind of questioning, you need how much power to charge these trucks? And they weren't really going to be able to supply that kind of power to them. Over time, they figured all that out. And I think just recently here, there was an article that came out where they said, hey, we've got it up and running. They've got their chargers installed. But again, this was 3 years after they started this whole process. So where is the advantage for battery electric vehicles? And I think that's a great question. You know, many of us that have been in the industry a long time, we already kind of get it. It's kind of like, where is the common sense here? And if you feel like it's the politicians and people like that pushing for the electric vehicles, it's like they don't quite get it, what's going on. They're so focused on getting the dirty diesel trucks off the road, they're not taking a practical approach and a practical timeline of what this is going to take to actually pull it off. Even the North American Council for Freight Efficiency says that battery electric trucks may only be about 30% of the overall solution we need to go zero emissions, meaning this is a group that studies this stuff constantly and how are we going to move freight across our country in the most efficient manner. But they certainly understand that battery electric trucks are not the answer for all of our transportation solutions. They do make some sense in the drayage operations or maybe local type deliveries. But for the Class 8 long haul stuff that a lot of us run and where we work, it doesn't make any sense at all. So there's going to have to be an alternate solution out there or an additional solution besides the electric trucks. One of the questions that comes up when we start talking about this subject is, what is the sustainability for diesel fuel itself? How much supply do we have out there of the fossil fuels that we need to make diesel fuel? You know, even California, in their aggressive, assertive nature, they aren't banning the sale of new diesel trucks to the year 2036. So they're at least another 10 years down the road. And then by 2042, they're trying to say that everything in California needs to be zero emissions. So it's a ways off, but it's still kind of an aggressive timeline when you think about all the struggles and troubles that we've had to this point. So I was trying to figure out how much diesel fuel do we have out there, what kind of supply, and some of the numbers were all over the place depending on what source you use. But I would say a good average of what I found is there's at least another 50 years of diesel fuel available, meaning the fossil fuels in the ground and the oil that we need to convert into diesel fuel. So at least 50 years out. When you think about how fast technology has moved, just in the last several years, you know, it wasn't even 10 years ago, you start thinking about the electric vehicles coming online and how fast, and now the autonomous trucks and all those things. In 10 years, there's been a huge shift in the technology. So if we've got 50 years of diesel fuel out there yet to figure this out, I can't even imagine what technology we're going to come up with over that timeline. And it's probably something we don't even know about yet, something we haven't even thought about yet. I'm sure there's another Elon Musk on the horizon that's going to pop up and show us a new way to do things. What's the cost of ownership between the diesel and the battery electric? Again, it was $450,000 for the purchase of the battery truck versus $175,000 of a diesel powered truck. You know, how do you make that work? Yes, there's grants out there. Are the grants going to be available long-term? How can the government even really sustain those grants and find the money to do that? It's a great question. And then you go back to the example we used in the story we were telling about the drayage company, where they had to have a bigger ratio of trucks to do the same amount of work. So that's something we have to consider too. Now, the battery electric, where are the advantages to it? I will say that most people feel like the maintenance side of things, they take a lot less maintenance than the diesel powered trucks. When you think about it, what kind of maintenance really is there to do on the electric vehicle other than maybe tires? There may be some charging type issues and stuff like that. But I do remember from talking to my friend about that, the one thing that was positive was the driver input on the electric. So, you know, a lot of drivers are kind of standoffish. No, we don't want electric vehicles and stuff, but they did it right when they rolled in the electric trucks. They got the drivers involved from the start in the process, so they kind of knew and understood what was going on. Then, of course, when they got the first truck on site, and they were able to hook to a loaded trailer. They let every driver test drive that thing, and it didn't take too long for the drivers to realize this thing's quiet. It accelerates way faster than a diesel truck with the torque and the power, and they liked it. So from the driver's perspective, I think it's probably going to be a pretty easy sale to move over to the electric because of the advantages that the electric offers. And if you've ever driven an electric car or something, you understand that as well. It's just kind of night and day difference between a combustion engine versus the electric, and the acceleration and the torque and the instant power and stuff. So the big trucks are no different. Now, I did find an article or a report from CBS News, of all people, that were talking about the amount of complaints from electric vehicle owners. And it actually said that the complaints from the EV owners was 80% higher than that of people with traditional vehicles. So while we think the maintenance, there isn't as much maintenance with the EVs, there are still some troubles out there that the manufacturers are having to work through. And then I think it brings a great question up, is where do you take these trucks to get them fixed? What about our technicians? Who and when do we train our technicians on how to work on an electric vehicle? Who's doing that? And to my knowledge, there isn't a lot of stuff going on right now about who's going to work on these things and repair them when we do have problems and issues. So what about alternatives beyond battery? What else? Beyond electric, what else is there? If you've kind of watched the news headlines over the last month or so, you might have caught that Ford Motor Company recently shut down their biggest electric vehicle manufacturing plant. You know, they come out with the F-150 Lightning, which was their F-150 version in electric truck. And they took their flagship. They took their best-selling vehicle of all time, and they made it electric, and it was supposed to take off, and it just hasn't done that. And the CEO of Ford was talking about how they've literally lost billions of dollars over the last couple of years manufacturing these electric vehicles because people aren't buying them. So does that bring up the question that is the market already saturated, meaning the people that want electric vehicles already have them, and the people that don't simply aren't buying them for various reasons? So how do they continue to push electric vehicles when nobody wants to buy them? Now, Toyota, if you follow them at all, they're taking a completely different angle on stuff. They understand that we need something to replace the combustion engine, but they're looking more at the hydrogen fuel cell and some different alternatives there. So they're placing their money and their bets on a completely different path to what zero emissions looks like for Toyota. And I think they're probably closer to it. I think you'll find more companies kind of watching Toyota and figuring this out, but you're going to see some follow that group, where I think the battery side of things it's kind of run its course already. Cummins has just launched a new X15 engine. They're diesel, but they're calling it the X15 Helm, H-E-L-M, and it's fuel agnostic. And what that means is they've built this motor that can take all different kinds of alternative fuels. And that's the platform that they're going with for the next round of 2027 emission rules from the government. And they're saying, hey, we're going to produce this thing. We're going to make it flexible, meaning it can burn biodiesel, it can burn renewable diesels, and maybe some other things along the way. So, you know, these technologies keep coming. They're out there working, and they're certainly not going down the electric path. They think the combustion type engine is still an option if we can find a cleaner burning fuel to run through that engine. And when you think about that, we've already got the infrastructure set up for that type of stuff. And the infrastructure for the EVs it's not there. How long would that take to build out? It would take way too long. When you think about you guys as professional drivers, and you know, maybe every 15, 20 miles on the interstate, there's some kind of travel center or truck stop where you can pull in and fuel up. What would that look like to have to find charging stations along the way and enough charging stations for all of us to pull in? And then the amount of time it takes to charge. When on the diesel side, you can whip in and fuel in 10 or 15 minutes, grab a cup of coffee, and you're back on the road. So I don't think we've seen the future of transportation yet in trucking. I think it's still out there to be discovered, and I like where some of it's going. To me, it's pretty clear that electric's not the answer, not the overall answer anyway. But you know, hang in there and let's see what's going to happen over the next few years. And for those of you that were kind of nervous, thinking, man, I'm getting out of the industry if this electric thing, if this is where it's going, I don't think it's going to happen. I think you can hold on, and we're years and years and years away from eliminating our current diesel vehicles. But I am curious what you think the future is going to look like for transportation. So don't forget to drop us a comment, drop me a note there, and tell me what you think it looks like and what you're willing to do and what you're not willing to do in the industry. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Driven Too Far. Make sure you hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.